an important festival because on this, in this time, precisely on Thursday, many years ago, Lord Nrisimhadev was installed in this beautiful altar. How long ago was that, Amara? Do you remember? 22. Oh yeah, 22 years. Some of you were not born at that time. He came here for a specific reason. He came to Germany. And now when we study a little bit about the Lord's nature, we cannot say that he came because there was a shipment made from India. He didn't come due to transport reasons, in other words. He came because devotees requested him to come here to Germany. And the Lord is always known as Solabhya. Solabhya means very accessible to the prayers of his devotees. He feels that the devotees called me, let me come here. Now on this day, we want to be, during this festival, we want to express our gratitude to Lord Nrisimhadev by celebrating his divine appearance here in Germany and by somehow pleasing him with our attempts at our festival. So thank you very much that you have found the desire in your hearts. And yeah, we will start today with a very interesting verse from the Bhagavad Gita. As Sanjaya said, "Thus I have heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna. And so wonderful is it, is that message, that my hair is standing on end." maybe I said the wrong thing. We wanted to just see. I made a mistake. We have 74. I wanted to do 73. So this verse is spoken by Arjuna after he has heard the Bhagavad Gita. Now I believe you all know that when Arjuna entered the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was not really prepared to fight, and at the same time he was also not sure if he should not fight. So he had requested Krishna for a solution of his existential dilemma, and now the solution is here. Arjuna said, "My dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and am prepared to act according to your instructions." Purport. The constitutional position of a living entity, represented by Arjuna, is that he has to act according to the order of the Supreme Lord. He is meant for self-discipline. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the actual position of the living entity is that of eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. Forgetting this principle, the living entity becomes conditioned by material nature. But in serving the Supreme Lord, he becomes the liberated servant of God. The living entity's constitutional position is to be a policeman, The living entity's constitutional position is to somehow or other earn money. I'm sorry, this is from driving with Gaurahari, who drives always so extremely fast, like 200 kilometers. It's a little water here. The living entity's constitutional position is to be a servitor. He has to serve either the illusory Maya or the Supreme Lord. If he serves the Supreme Lord, he is in his normal condition. But if he prefers to serve the illusory external energy, then certainly he will be in bondage. In illusion, the living entity is serving in this material world. He is bound by his lust and desires, yet he thinks of himself as the master of the world. This is called illusion. When a person is liberated, his illusion is over, and he voluntarily surrenders unto the Supreme to act according to his desires. The last illusion, the last snare of Maya to trap the living entity, is the proposition that he is God. A living entity thinks that he is no longer a conditioned soul, but God. He is so unintelligent that he does not think that if he were God, then how could he be in doubt? That he does not consider. So that is the last snare of illusion. Actually, to become free from the illusory energy is to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and agree to act according to his order. The word moha is very important in this verse. Moha refers to that which is opposed to knowledge. Actually, real knowledge is the understanding that every living being is eternally a servitor of the Lord. But instead of thinking oneself in that position, the living entity thinks that he is not a servant, that he is the master of this material world, for he wants to lord it over the material nature. That is his illusion. This illusion can be overcome by the mercy of the Lord or by the mercy of a pure devotee. When that illusion is over, one agrees to act in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is acting according to Krishna's order. A conditioned soul, illusioned by the external energy of matter, does not know that the Supreme Lord is the master, who is full of knowledge and who is the proprietor of everything. Whatever he desires, he can bestow upon his devotees. He is the friend of everyone, and he is especially inclined to his devotee. He is the controller of the material nature and of all living entities. He is also the controller of inexhaustible time. And he is full of all opulences and all potencies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can even give himself to the devotee. One who does not know him is under the spell of illusion. He does not become a devotee, but a servitor of Maya. Arjuna, however, after hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, became free from all illusion. He could understand that Krishna was not only his friend, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he understood Krishna factually. So to study Bhagavad Gita is to understand Krishna factually. When a person is in full knowledge, he naturally surrenders to Krishna. When Arjuna understood that it was Krishna's plan to reduce the unnecessary increase of population, he agreed to fight according to Krishna's desire. He again took up his weapons, his arrows and bow, to fight under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think we can understand that Prabhupada gave a long purport here. It's a very important verse in the Gita, describing Arjuna's turn of mind. He's now ready. He has made the important, you could say in modern language, paradigm shift. Eine Haltungsänderung. And is now ready to act according to Krishna's instructions. Let us please say this verse in English. My dear, and mean it if possible. My dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt and am prepared to act according to your instructions. Act according to your instructions. Wouldn't it be so nice if we can say this verse in the mood of Arjuna and really am on the same platform of doubtlessness and also enthusiasm. I think if we could learn to speak this verse every day, more, one day it will come very nicely from our lips. It will come being carried by our realization. Sometimes it's good to say such verses which act almost as guidelines where we want to arrive, where we want to come to, where we want to arrive at in our own spiritual journey. I read this today and I was really touched how Arjuna can say, my illusion is gone. I have regained my memory. Maya is gone. I'm now firm and free from doubt, and I'm prepared to act according to your instructions. Nama, please recite these mantras with me. Srila Prabhupada has started his explanations to this verse by reminding us that it is our natural life to act according to Krishna's desires. It is not unnatural for us. It is perfectly normal, so to say, when we are in our original life, our constitutional position, then we act according to the plan of the Lord. Arjuna is a very good example. He had only, after hearing the Gita, he only had the desire to act according to the plan of the Lord. And later, after the battle of Kurukshetra was was finished, and Arjuna was residing in Hastinapur, helping his older brother Yudhishthira to rule the world, there came a phase when Arjuna felt, I should go now to Krishna and ask him if he has any further plans where he wants me to be his instrument. It's a very moving. Arjuna had acted according to the plan of the Lord, but because he was really such a first-class devotee, he intuitively felt soon there will be a change, a new plan will be there by Krishna, and I really wish to be part of this plan, just like I have been part in Krishna's other plans. We hear this in relationship to being a disciple. We say that the first class disciple knows what his spiritual master wishes, even though the spiritual master has not communicated his desires. So Arjuna knows now there will be a change of plan. He intuitively feels it without Krishna having told him. And now to be a little bit, to find out very, very precisely what it is, he goes to Dwaraka. And there he learns of the new plan. Krishna has left the world. He has gone to Goloka Vrindavan. And there are instructions for him by Lord Krishna to bring the queens of Lord Krishna, who have been in Dwaraka town, while the destruction of the Yadu dynasty and the departure of the Lord to his own abode went on in Prabhasha Chetra. He receives the instruction from Daruka, the driver of Krishna, the chariot driver, that the Lord told in parting that you must bring his queens to safety. You must bring them to from Dwaraka to Hastinapur. And then Arjuna is of course trying to execute the mission of the Lord. For the first time in his life, he fails, actually. He cannot do what the Lord had asked him. Because the Lord had not only gone, he had taken also the powers which he had invested in Arjuna with him. So Arjuna, that's a whole very complicated and wonderful leela, but sad leela. You would all cry when you hear it in detail. Anyways, so he comes back to Hastinapur and he tells his brothers, the Lord has gone. I guess we should also go. So they all go to the Himalayas, and five Pandavas, and they all go back home, back to Godhead, because they want to be where Krishna is. That's their only desire. So anyways, here in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is now very hopeful. Wow, I know the plan of the Lord for me. My dear devotees, there is a plan for every one of you. There's a plan, it has a name for Amara. There's a plan, it has a name for Adya. We start with the letter A. We are totally impartial. There's a plan, has a name shield on it for Sachinandan Swami. There's a plan which has a name shield on it for Satya. This is Satya. There's a plan for every one of us. Do you want to know it? Honestly, do you want to know it? It might be something else than you have planned at the moment. It's, I think, difficult for us to give an answer, and obviously it's a very private question, and this question is, I'm not expecting an answer in a public assembly. But let us think for a while. Do we wish to know the plan of Lord Krishna for us? I think we would all answer yes, but it's nice to know, but to do is another thing. But it would be interesting, most probably, to know, you know, like like people go to an astrologer to find out what is the future. It's just to know, and so on. Now, we would, in some, why are we a little hesitant sometimes to act upon the plan of the Lord and give up our own plans? It is not because of something which is natural, but it is due to a covering of our consciousness. Lord Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita about this covering. It's the three modes of material nature which cover us, or more specific, it are the three modes of material nature which cover our desire. He gives different examples which are quite interesting. He says in Sattvagun, our consciousness is covered like fire is covered with smoke. Not so much. In Rajagun, our consciousness is covered like a mirror is covered by the dust which is on the crystal. And when we become influenced by Tamagun, our consciousness is covered like the embryo who is covered with the thick layers of skin and muscle of the mother. Quite covered. Not so free. So, when a devotee is rising a little bit in his existence and comes to the mode of goodness where he can act according to knowledge and where he is, we could say, relatively enlightened and happy also. This is a very important mode of goodness, means happy. Then it's much easier for the devotee to act according to a superior plan. But when a devotee is a little down, as we say, covered maybe by tamagun and or rajagun, then it's more difficult really to act on the plan of the Lord. So exactly this covering is what blocks us from our natural position, almost like this blue covering now is covering my eyes so that I can't see the blissful, attentive faces of my audience. Hare Krishna. Or I should say the thoughtful faces of my audience. And exactly this covering of the consciousness is taken away by Lord Narsingadev. There is a verse which devotees chant, it says, "Oh, my dear Lord, appear in my heart, in our hearts, and remove the desires from my heart." Mm-hmm. It removes the desires in the different modes, and that's why this festival is very, very wonderful. I believe if all of you who somehow by Lord Nrsingadev's mercy found the time and the enthusiasm to come here, you can leave this temple on Monday or Sunday. I do not know when you have planned to proceed. You can leave it at this temple a little bit more free when you learn to pray this prayer. The devotee actually prays, "My dear Lord, please take away from me what is still in between us. Please take away the covering of my heart so that I can truly serve you and love you." This is a prayer of a devotee. And he also prays to the Lord to take away the covering of his heart, because then, really, when the covering of the heart is please come back, Madhavananda. This is modern telephone call. Telephone. That is a very sattvic sound. Yes. Hari Bol. Mira. So, yeah, this has happened. You know, this is really, Madhavananda and myself have, we have programmed this. It's not that Madhavananda is. This is how the material energy is, you know. It comes and calls you with some rajasic instruction. And then you have to run. This is what Maya means. This is only a theater play. It is, Madhavananda is beyond the modes of nature. That is not my point. My point is, really, comes so strong, the call. We can't say no. We can't say no. It's not possible. If we are in those particular modes. Yes, I wanted to explain. When the Lord takes away the covering, then our natural desire comes out and it becomes manifest. And we feel our natural desire is actually threefold. Did you know this? Rupa Goswami says, the first natural desire is we wish to attain the Lord. That is the very natural desire. And I think we all know this desire. Sometimes it's so strong. We feel, I want only Krishna. Isn't it? Sometimes we feel? Yes, yes. The next desire which comes, when the unnatural influence of the three modes is over, I want to attain Krishna, but I also want my relationship with Krishna. I want so much to have a relationship, like maybe as a friend, or maybe as a servant of Krishna, or maybe other relationships. And the third, very natural desire which comes is, I actually want to please Krishna. I want to bring pleasure to my Lord. These are three natural desires which are residing in the soul. But when we become over, when we become covered over to certain degrees, as the Lord says, by these three modes, then this natural desire is replaced by some unnatural desire. It just is very unnatural. So the Lord can move the covering away. That's one thing, so that our natural desire comes. But the second benefit is that at such a time, we will feel in our heart something very nice and beautiful. We become actually the well-wishers of all living beings. We actually are able to fully love and appreciate others. Do you sometimes think also about this subject in your life, that how nice it would be to really appreciate and like, for instance, all the Vaishnavas, not making any distinctions between a high class and a low class Vaishnava, but to really affectionately call the Vaishnavas, this is my family. I think this desire all of us know. But again, when we are covered by the material curtain, we don't find this desire in our heart, but instead we find that we make distinctions between this one I like very much and this I actually don't like very much. We are not equally minded, in the sense that we don't really wish the best for everyone. So the devotee really is praying to Lord Nrisimhadev. And tomorrow, I thought to bring these two prayers to your attention, so that we can chant it happily together and benefit from it. I would like to now briefly touch on to another subject. It will be quite brief. The subject matter of Poshana. Poshana means protection. Srila Prabhupada was saying when a devotee feels protected by the Lord, the first symptom is that he will feel peace of mind. Who wishes peace of mind from me? Also, that is a very natural, I think. Who wants a very undisturbed mind? No one. When you are feeling in your heart that the Lord protects me, then you have that peace of mind. I just heard from one devotee from New York phoned me. This devotee went out of his house with his neighbor. They wanted to just go someplace. I do not know. The devotee didn't tell me. And then all of a sudden a robber came. And the robber took out a gun and pointed the gun at the neighbor. Now the neighbor was so totally frightened. And he said, "Give me all your money." This is a normal form of communication in New York. But still it's frightening. So the neighbor started to run like anything. Now the robber didn't follow the neighbor, but he pointed his gun towards the devotee. The devotee was a Mataji devotee, very nice devotee. And he pointed the gun first on the head, and then on the chest and on the belly of the devotee, and threatened the devotee. I hope that our Nishinga Priya's blood is now not boiling with anger. And the devotee said, but here surrendered the purse. There was only $6 in it, a typical Hare Krishna purse. But she somehow was also so frightened that she threw the purse into the darkness, and the robber was not very satisfied because where to find the so much work to find the purse. And then the robber became more angry, and the devotee was so frightened. She said, I will give you everything, just don't shoot me. Then the second thought was, but he will certainly shoot me. But then the third thought was, no, I can actually not die because I have a Tulasi necklace offered to Lord Nrisimhadev. The Mataji told me, she was just so convinced. First she was very, very worried. Her thought was also, who will tell my daughter when I'm dead? I'm certainly now going to get it. He's so aggressive and so impossible. I will certainly get it now. But then the devotee remembered, no, I have the Tulasi necklace of Lord Nrisimhadev. Lord comes to protect his devotees. And the devotee got a lot of courage. He said, she said to this rascal gangster, you are a very impious person. You should give up your old ways to just threaten people and frighten them like anything. And then she shouted very loudly, "Jai Nrisimha!" and ran, knowing that he would not shoot. She's just very unusual, isn't it, Nrisimha Priya? This is a very unusual behavior. But this is a devotee of Krishna. And she was very convinced, the Lord will protect me, and just ran very impolitely away from the gangster. Then she ran against a lantern because she was very emotionally, but didn't matter. She continued afterwards. And well, we think it's I don't know if I have explained it a little humorously. I know it was not really fair to the frightening situation. What I wanted to say is, when the devotee can feel I'm protected by my Lord, there is some great mental strength. I don't know how you would feel if you are in the darkness and a gangster holds a gun at first at your head and then at your chest and in your stomach to really make you afraid. And maybe he clicks with a click. I don't know what to do to make one afraid with a gun. And Krishna. She felt Lord Nrsimhadev. And yes, as Prabhupada said, when you feel protected, you feel peace of mind, like a child. Mm. So the Lord has a prime purpose when he comes to this world, and that is Poshana. He offers protection. Therefore, this protection is found in each chapter of the Bhagavatam. Usually, each chapter deals with one of the 10 items of... each canto. One canto usually deals with one item of the devotional subject list in the Bhagavatam. Maintenance is one, creation, what else? Oh, best of the brahmanas and scholars. There are 10 subjects. Sumabhanam, surrender is another one. But Poshanam, protection, is dealt in all the 10 cantos. For instance, in the first canto, we know Arjuna is hearing that this Ashwatthama has killed his 5 sons and then pursues Ashwatthama with his chariot. And Ashwatthama turns around and knows Arjuna will get me. And then unfairly, he throws a brahmastra at Arjuna, and Arjuna is overwhelmed by this situation. He does not know how to counteract the brahmastra. He feels the brahmastra comes to him and will end his life. And so what does he do? He turns to the Lord for protection. Yeah. And the Lord, the kind Lord, protects his devotee, of course, by telling him what to do. So in all the cantos, second canto, we hear of the incarnations of the Lord who have appeared, and in all the cantos we always hear of episodes how Krishna appears even in different forms to protect his dear devotees. When we hear this, immediately a question arises in our mind. I don't know if you also have this question, but I had this question for a long time. Yes, you say the Lord protects his devotees, but this is a theory, Sachinandan Swami. There are devotees who have died in car accidents. There are devotees who had physical injuries. There are devotees who have lost their minds. Where was the protection of the Lord then, which you now say is such a prominent figure in the Lord's mission? And I would like to answer this question, which is really the question, why is a devotee suffering? I want to answer this question with the words of Grandfather Bhishma. As you know, Grandfather Bhishma was on his deathbed after the battle of Kurukshetra, and Lord Krishna visited him with the 5 Pandavas. So when the 5 Pandavas came to Grandfather Bhishma, who was in his last, you know, these were his last hours in this world, he was extremely pleased, and tears of joy went from his cheeks, and he shouted, "Badai, badai ho, badai ho!" This is what you say in Braj. Badai ho means congratulations. Badaiho, badaiho. Then he also cried and he said, I can't understand why these Pandavas had to undergo so much trouble. They were sent into the forest, their house was burned, they were fed poisoned food, their wife was insulted, man-eaters were pursuing them to kill and feast on their flesh. One misery after the other. But they were surrounded by brahmanas all the time who blessed them. They followed Dharma. There was not a problem. They were not sinful. And more than anything, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was their friend. So why did they suffer? Can you understand Bhishma's questions? I think it's a very good question. Do you know how Bhishma answered this question? He said, first of all, this is due to inexplainable kala, the time factor, who brings misery and happiness to the people. But then he gave a further explanation, and the inexplicable plan of the Lord. He says, in other words, I really can't explain it fully. So when I'm now trying to answer the question, why does a devotee suffer? I will not say more than Grandfather Bhishma, that I have now the answers. Listen, boys and girls, and be enlightened. No. It's not easy to understand. We, of course, know all these explanations. These are remnants of karma, and when Krishna likes his devotee especially, he takes everything away from him to make him more devoted. I only know one thing, and I have absolute faith in this, that whatever Krishna does, or whatever happens to the devotee, it is with the knowledge of Krishna, with the control of Krishna. And whatever Krishna does is for the education of the of his devotee. I was thinking about this when I was a couple of weeks ago at the dentist, you know, where all philosophy is put to the test. And it was so extremely, I'm not a great hero anyways, but for me, I had reached my limits. I couldn't take one day more. You know, one day I ate nice pashar, I ate a little pashar soup, you know, and then all of a sudden I bite on the tooth has fallen out. And I pray, oh Krishna, now all the soup comes on the naked nerve of that tooth, and immediately it came. Where's the next wall, please? And Gaurahari found me hanging under the ceiling like a little vampire. Gaurahari, save me. So painful. Now we're thinking, Lord Krishna, now I know this world is not for enjoyment. It is simply not working. Thank you very much. It is very clear now. I think this is what the Lord does, and why he does. He's an educator. He has a plan. He does a plan. He says to us with these sufferings very clearly, no, you cannot enjoy. I have learned today something about child education, which was extremely enlightening for me. When you have a child, and the child is restless and wants things and is sometimes impossible, then the mother has at one stage to say no. Now if the mother later changes her line and says yes to the child, the child will become unsteady in mind. It is a psychological damage because the child gets confused. Well, first it was no, now it's yes. What is it? And then something like the determination in the child the determination or what is it, decision making, he becomes undecisive. There's no. So sometimes the Lord has to say to us, no, you can't enjoy. And he doesn't break his line of authority so that we are not confused and we know, okay, I understood now. This is one reason why the Lord in his kindness is helping us. But this is very important. No matter if we are up and down, if we are successful or not successful, or if we are in pain or non-pain, there is a very sweet promise of the Lord, which, like a very nice father, he keeps. He said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he once said, the Lord is bringing to our attention, chant and do seva in your life. And at the time of leaving your body, you will get the darshan of Radha and Krishna. Just by these two things, chanting and performing seva. And I think whatever education the Lord has to do on the way for us, the devotee humbly accepts it as necessary. If you want to have a theoretical, a very philosophical reason, what exactly happens is the Lord takes your karma and uses your karma or directs your karma in such a way that you can understand what you need to understand in this life. That's how he uses suffering. But today I don't want really to stress this point. I want to just say Krishna is inconceivable, just like the child doesn't understand when the mother say no. Isn't it, Fariba, when sometimes you say to Satyan, is Satyan, is not understanding it. It's also not convinced even of the no. Yes. So it is also with us. We are in our spiritual development children. You can see Satyan. Thank you. This is little Sadhya. We are spiritually like this. We may be sweet and so on and may do everything well, but sometimes we are a little impossible. Thank you, Sadhya. Yes. 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 And sometimes Krishna has to say no. And we may, some other may say, but he is so sweet. Why did he get it? You will observe Satya throughout the two days. You will see, yes, he is sweet, but very determined to do her plan. Okay, so let us pray tomorrow very honestly and earnestly, why tomorrow, today, and every day, to the Lord to kindly remove our coverings, and let us, and when the Lord wants to say no, let us accept it without resentment, knowing well he plans for our good education. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, śiśi Gaura Nitāya ki jai, śrī Nṛsiṅgha Deva ki jai, śrī Nṛsiṅgha Brahmotsava ki jai, Gaura Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol.